And it is Jared the GM live today out at Neighbors in Germantown. Again, come on out tonight. Thanks to our friends at Tullamore Dew. They are having a watch party for the Monday Night Football game out here at Neighbors in Germantown. Again, Tullamore Dew and Brews are only $6 tonight at Neighbors out here in Germantown. We were just talking with the proprietor of this fine establishment, former Titan Zach Piller. Now, I'm sure he did not have a problem with the Vols beatdown. On Saturday,
no,
I would assume.
Former Gator.
I would assume as a Gator, he would have no problem with that.
Yep.
Floyd, I have never seen a more boring blowout in my life than I did the Tennessee blowout on Saturday. If that makes any sense about it, it felt like a Vanderbilt game. Like, I'm not kidding. And that may be the single worst thing I can say to a Tennessee fan is I had on LSU Vandy and Tennessee Florida at the same time, and those games felt the exact same, except Vandy LSU was at least a little more entertaining because they were scoring touchdowns every other snap.
Right.
That Tennessee Florida game, I mean, Florida made a ton of mistakes early, and I'm like, hey, the Vols might actually have a chance. If Florida keeps screwing the game up, they might have a chance. And Tennessee just couldn't do anything. The quarterback play was awful for Tennessee. You know, they bring in Jim Chaney, which I thought was a great move. I don't see any positives there. I'm looking for, you know, for the whole season, we can say, you know, hey, it's going to be a tough year. You got to give Pruitt time. It's going to be hard. This team looks worse than last year's team. And I don't know what to make of it, but they go to Georgia. You know, Georgia is coming up, and I don't have a single good thing to say about Tennessee football right now.
Well, they, I think you're right. I mean, I think the offense has stagnated, if not gone in reverse. You know, Garantano, or whatever, however you say his name, has not gotten one bit better than he was last year, may even have gotten worse. And yet, you heard reports during the camp and during spring ball and all that that yeah, he's getting better. He's getting better. It's, you know, he's really improving, and Jim Chaney's offense is really going to be good to him, and all of that. But you don't see it. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no evidence of it. And they really have a couple of receivers that are legit receivers,
mm-hmm.
guys that can catch the ball. They have. I mean, Jennings is, you know, what did he have last week? He had like 8 or 9 catches or whatever.
Jennings, Palmer, Callaway. Yeah, I mean, those are nice guys.
Yeah, guys that are legitimate receivers, and yet they're just struggling like crazy. So I don't know. I mean, I know they're playing a lot of young guys. I know that they feel really, really good about this recruiting class. They really like this 2019 class. And I think part of it is they're caught in between, okay, I've got a senior and I've got a freshman. You know, the senior has worked his butt off and deserves a chance. Yet, in another 6 months or a year, this freshman is going to be a lot better. So what am I going to do here? You know, and I think they're going through some things like that. And you can't have, you know, you can't play an entire team of freshmen. And yet they've got, I don't know, 10, 11, 12 freshmen that are playing a lot. And it'll pay off at some point in time. But in the meantime, you're going to pay the piper.
But is this, and I hope you're right, but I'm not sure I can commit to that yet. Is this simply a case of Jeremy Pruitt of just, hey, you got to go through it in order to get to it? Or are we starting to get a little bit worried about how bad the Vols are right now, about how bad they're getting, about how lethargic their football team looks, about how the stupid penalties and bad turnovers and not capitalizing on Florida turnovers and everything that went into that game? I mean, I can't even tell you a true moment in that game Saturday where I felt like Tennessee just let everything get away. There wasn't one moment that killed them in that game, but it's like every opportunity they had to make a play, they didn't make a single play.
Yeah, that tip ball that was intercepted in the end zone or right at the end zone, that was bad. That was things like that just kill you. And that just goes to show you, you know, you're a half inch away from making a play or not making a play, and doesn't work out for you. But I guess they got that DB back. I guess he got past whatever it was his issues were.
I'm just not sure the Vols are getting better. I am not convinced that they're getting better in year two under Jeremy Pruitt. I didn't expect them to win 10 games this year, but I at least expected them to look like a better team, even when they lost the Georgia State game, which I, you know, rightfully so, in my opinion, lost my marbles about. Even when they lost that game, it's like, okay, you know, the Vols can go out there and play better football and show us. And I thought maybe they did against BYU. I still was, you know, disgusted by the ending of that game. But I thought to myself, like, okay, maybe the Vols are better, and they'll win a couple games. It'll surprise you here or there. And they'll the only game in the SEC they might win this year is Vanderbilt. The only game. They're not beating Kentucky. They're not beating Mississippi State.
Well, if they can continue to get better, I mean, they have – the first game was a disaster, okay? We all know that. But I think against BYU they played better, and I think really this week they played a little bit better simply because of the level of competition. But I think if they can just continue with all these young guys that are playing, if they can continue to improve, then, you know, maybe you'll have a basis for something.
But what are they improving in? I mean, you talk about them continuing to improve. What about them is improving?
Well, that's what – I mean, I think they're improving. I think if you were a coach and you were watching this team and breaking down the film, you would say they're improving, and you'd have a number of areas. You know, the problem is when they're freshmen that are improving, well, I mean, what are they going to do for you? You know, they're not going to go
out
there.
You're going to take them into Georgia.
You're not going to take a freshman out there and he's going to, you know, gain 300 yards and you can say, yeah, look at this. It's probably not going to happen. So.
The other thing, too, is how is this affecting the recruiting? And I don't know the answer to that, but – you're playing these ESPN main games, and Florida's beating you, what was it, 34-3, or Florida's embarrassing you. Georgia is going to house them. Alabama is going to kill them. I mean, I know that Vol fans are unfortunately used to a lot of that right now, but that cannot be good for Tennessee football recruiting either.
I mean, I would agree, although they, like I said, I mean, I think they feel really good about the class they got in last year. So I don't know. You know, that's supposed to be his forte, and we will find out. Because if he can stack another really, really good recruiting class on it and get a bunch of players to play, then, you know, maybe it'll be different. But
and that's the
can
other,
you do that?
And that leads me to the other thing that's bothersome about the Vols. If recruiting has to be Pruitt's forte for one reason, because it feels to me like coaching ain't his forte. And that's, if you can't coach him, you better John Calipari it and go get better players than everybody else. And that's really hard to do against Georgia and Alabama. And that's what, this is what kills me for the Vols, is at least with Butch Jones, even if it was a little misguided, although in hindsight, Butch Jones, you know, he did win 9 games 2 years in a row, for whatever that's worth, which is not a lot, but it's something. But, when is there any end in sight of the terribleness that has become the Tennessee Volunteers? Do you see a light at the end of the tunnel, Floyd? And not a I'm hoping for the light, but you see the light and you know it's there. Is there anything in your heart that you can look to and say, this is when the Vols will be better? And I don't know, as a fan, if you can see the light at the end of the tunnel right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's not going to be this year.
Oh, no offense to Garantano, so, it's probably not going to be with this quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, that's the truth. But, I mean, it's not going to be immediate. And I think I think Phillip understands that. I think Coach understands it. I think, you know, the fans are going to struggle mightily to understand it. But
do you think Phillip expected it to be this bad in year two?
Well, I don't think he expected to lose to Georgia State or whoever that was.
Or 30 points to Florida?
Oh, I don't think that'd be a shock to anybody.
Oh, I think Phillip was kind of expecting not to compete, but at least give yourself a chance.
Yeah, I don't think you can look at this team and see them. I mean, there's no way they can compete with the Georgia, Alabama, the Floridas, none of those.
Do you think they have a shot to win a single SEC game outside of Vanderbilt?
Yeah, they'll have a shot with Kentucky.
Oh, Kentucky will kill them.
They have a shot with who else do they play?
Missouri, South Carolina.
Yeah, they'll have a shot at those games.
Mississippi State?
I don't know about Mississippi State.
I think Kentucky will murder them.
They don't play Mississippi?
No. Unfortunately for them, or Arkansas. I think Kentucky, Ian, put it down,
we got
please.
One. Where's the shofar?
I'm calling it, not guaranteeing, but I'm calling it. I think Kentucky will kill the Volunteers this year. I think they will annihilate Tennessee. And I do not feel like there is any end in sight for the terribleness that has become UT Vol football. I just don't know. And I wish I had an answer, but I don't. And you can hope and pray, and I feel kind of that's what the GM's doing, because that's the only way out of it is to hope that Pruitt gets the recruits and that he can coach and that he does coach them up and that they do win. And that is the only option that Tennessee has right now. So I understand why that is the only option the GM is picking. But I do not see a light at the tunnel. I don't see it. It feels like I'm watching Vandy play when I watch them play Florida on Saturday, and when I watch them play Georgia, and when I watch them play Alabama. It feels like Vandy scored some points against LSU, though. They didn't stop anything, but they did.
Yeah.
Let's take your phone, 615-737-1025. Here's the question for the callers. After the beatdown that Tennessee took at the hands of Florida, is there any end in sight for you with this funk that the Vols are in? 615-737-1025. And on the other side, Floyd will explain to us what is the difference between, hey, Jeremy Pruitt is rebuilding and Jeremy Pruitt stinks. What is the difference? I don't know. We'll get to that next. It's Jared and the GM right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, live from Neighbors in Germantown by First Tennessee Park. Hey, join the game Nashville at the second annual Preds Fest on Sunday from 2 to 6. There'll be Preds player appearances, live entertainment, a used equipment sale, and fun for the whole family. Stop by our tent to win some awesome prizes and some game gear. That is Preds Fest. So get excited about that. Jared and the GM, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Play action for Trask. Floating one towards Swain in the end zone.
You know, I thought our defense at times kind of persevered a little bit, but the last touchdown before the half, making it a three-score game, was tough. We made too many mistakes on defense. When you're playing against a good team, you have to make them earn it. Whether we're not exactly doing a technique right, I feel like we're going to the right spots. But one time we got them in a second 15, they throw the ball out in the flats. We give up a one-for-one out there. Should probably be third and 13, but instead it's a first down. You know, it's little bitty things like that.
Jeremy Pruitt, after the Vols again get that beat down from Florida. And the thing that hurts my heart is that as someone who grew up a Vanderbilt fan, I have seen Vanderbilt play Florida, Georgia, Alabama, Tennessee, you know, the good schools. And I've seen games like that. And now it feels like every week Tennessee plays games that feel like a Vanderbilt game. And that's the hard part, is if you're a Vol fan and you think that the Vols should be as good as those other schools, and then they go out every year and get beat by 30. And it just feels like it's becoming, I mean, do you think there was even a single Tennessee fan that was surprised by the result of Saturday's game?
Florida game?
Yeah.
Probably not many.
So tell me this. What is the line? Like, what is the difference between, hey, we got to be patient, the Vols are rebuilding, they're going to take their lumps, and you got to go through it to get to it, and the other side of it that is, man, Jeremy Pruitt really stinking it up right now is coaching the Vols.
In my opinion, it's always the same, which is you have to show improvement. You have to be able to look at game to game or week to week or every so often and say, hey, look at how much better we are at running the ball, throwing the ball, playing defense, whatever it may be. And if you can do that, then, you know, you got something to build on, something to live with. If you can't do that, you know, if you're going, which is, you know, part of the problem with the way the Titans played, you know, this last weekend after the first game. You know, you saw Cleveland last night. Cleveland's, you know, close to beating the Rams. I mean, they were right there, and yet we go out and do that to Cleveland, turn around and mess up this week. And so, you know, you look at it and you go, wait a minute, that's going the wrong way. for this team. We need to be going the other way. You know, show us improvement. Do something better. But until the offensive line, until we can get Zach back at right guard, we're probably going to be struggling a little bit there.
Okay, so for Tennessee, what do you see that's an improvement? Because that's my whole point, is I don't see anything that's an improvement for the Vols.
Well, I think when you're dealing with freshman play, when you're dealing with young players, it's not going to be that all of a sudden you've got this freshman receiver that goes out and, you know, catches 10 for 200 yards. That's probably not going to happen. And so, you know, it's more along the lines of, did he get good releases? Did he read the coverages? Did he squat in the right place? Did he run through when he's supposed to? Did all of those kinds of things. But the problem is, for the fans, they don't know that.
Yeah, Jeremy Pruitt never gets asked at a press conference, did Johnny Jones squat at the right time in his break? That kind of stuff.
You know, did somebody do something better? And yet, I mean, I know they're thrilled with those young offensive linemen. They've got those two young tackles. And that one of them got hurt, by the way, Saturday. But I mean, I think they're thrilled with them. And yet, you know, what? Instead of having 7 sacks, you get 4 sacks. You know, I mean, for the fan, it's hard for them to look at it and go, wow, you know, I can see where we're getting better.
My problem is I think Pruitt stinks. And I don't know why, but they brought in Tyson Helton last year, which didn't make a whole lot of sense to me when they did it. But they brought in Tyson Helton to run the offense, and he was going to come out there, and he was going to just change Garantano, and he was going to get him right. And last year, you could tell at the end of the year that Pruitt and Helton were certainly not seeing eye to eye. Helton goes to be a head coach, take a pay cut to go to Western Kentucky, where he is taking it on the chin right now. And they bring in all this money to bring in Jim Chaney, and Jim Chaney's going to fix the offense. And Garantano, in their first real game of the year, and I know they're 1-2 going into the Florida game, but their first real game of the year against the Gators, Garantano gets benched. Which probably should have happened. I can't blame Pruitt for that. But I thought that, you know, for all the pumping up they did of Garantano during the offseason, for him to come out in the first real game and get benched, to me, is a very disappointing sign. And Pruitt was asked about the benching of Garantano on Saturday. This is what Jeremy Pruitt had to say about that.
It's the thing about playing quarterback, right? I think Jared's got lots of ability to be a really good player, okay? And I've said that over and over. But there's times you kind of got to take the bull by the horns and say, let's go, you know? You got to make some plays, and you got to have an impact on the people around you, you know? So, and that's one of the things I've been talking to him about. You know, you've been around those folks, whether it's playing sports or in a room or whatever, that somebody's got positive vibes that makes you feel good and gets excited about being where you're at and what you're doing. So we need a little bit of that. You know, we made a few mistakes there, so we went with Brian and to get Jared a little bit settled down a little bit. And, you know, Brian come in and done a couple of things. He had a really good drive right down the field. You know, and right there at the end, he kind of threw a ball into triple coverage. If he throws it on the other side, it's probably a walk-in touchdown. So there's plays out there like that we've left out there a little bit today and have in the past, which has hurt our production offensively.
Floyd, what did you think of what Pruitt said there about the quarterback position?
I mean, he's probably right. He's looking for the same thing from his quarterback that we're looking for from ours.
It's so funny when he said that, take it by the horns, I'm thinking about Marcus.
Yeah, he wants somebody to come in and pick everybody up. You know, everybody play a little bit better, do something better, run the ball better, block better, whatever case may be, because of the quarterback. And I think that they're having a tough time getting it. I mean, kind of like we are at times. So it's...
he can wish that'll happen, but that's not going to happen. Vols, they're not going to fix the quarterback position this year, I don't think.
Well, if Garantano can't do it after, you know, 3 or 4 weeks with Chaney, then that's why the young guy went in. Because they're saying, it's all well and good, but is he going to be the guy to lift us? And they're probably saying no. So you throw the young guy out there and see if maybe, you know, there's a spark of any type.
I just don't know. Where is the line between Jeremy Pruitt's not a good coach, and this is going to be another coaching change for the Vols, And the, hey, be patient because they're getting better, and I just don't know the answer. And I'd say this, like, it's time for the Vols to not be terrible. For the Vol fans and for the rest of the SEC and for college football, it's time for the Vols to not be terrible. Big Orange is up next here on Jared and the GM. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, Big Orange.
Hey, Jared. Settle down a little bit. Slow the roll. Floyd, give him some fireball over there. Damn, son. You know, I'm one of the biggest Big Orange fans around. I've been going to Knoxville for 50 years to watch the Big Orange play. I'm not happy, but I'm not giving up on them. Pruitt has turned that defense around. Now, the secondary, I agree. We need to work on the secondary. But Floyd, to tell you, Jerry, we gave up less than 75 yards rushing to Florida on Saturday. The defense is coming around. They're getting better and better every game. He's dealing with what he's got right now. Yeah, Jared sucks. I'll be the first one sitting down. I would put Jennings in the ball game. Jennings was a high school quarterback. I would put Jennings in, let him do his thing, shotgun, whatever it takes. Chaney's got to do better. But, you've got to give us some time. Like Floyd told you a couple of weeks ago, 14 games. This was the 15th game. You know, give him a little bit of time. I was down like everybody else, but you know what? I see it each week getting better and better. We will play Georgia a decent game. Now, towards the end, yeah, we may run out of gas again and end up getting blown out on the field. But I guarantee you one thing, you didn't see our boys give up on Saturday. Not one bit did you see, and Florida tell you, UT did not give up in that 34-3 loss to Florida. Not one time did they give up.
Thank you, Big Orange. Floyd, do you agree with what he said?
There's a Vol fan right there.
Do you agree, other than the fact that he is a Vols fan, do you agree with what he said? That they're getting better, that they will give Georgia a fight when they play Georgia?
I don't know about Georgia, but I think they are getting better. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt.
I think there's a ton of them. They lost by 31 points.
Well, I know, Jared, but see, that's what I'm saying. You don't understand.
The backup quarterback.
That's better than the starter.
Oh no! I love Trask, the backup at Florida, and I like the backup at Kentucky. I think they may be, you never want to see people get hurt, but Florida and Kentucky may have ended up with better quarterbacks after their starting quarterbacks got hurt. But I know you can say that they're getting better, but when I watch the Vols play on TV, I don't feel like they're getting any better, and I feel like Georgia's just going to go to Knoxville and just.
Georgia's pretty good.
They're going to give
you saw what they did
daddy.
In Notre Dame. It was number whatever they were, 7 or 8 or 10 or whatever. So, I mean, Georgia's pretty good.
The truth is,
we're talking about, well, the Vols aren't as good as Georgia. Guess what? Neither are the other 60 teams that play Power 5 football. None of them are as good as Georgia. That's why Georgia is ranked second or third or wherever the heck they are.
Okay, but are those 60 other teams less than 31 points worse than Florida?
Are they what?
Less than 31 points worse
than... Where's Florida ranked?
Like
sixth?
Seventh?
Huh?
Like
seventh?
Seventh or something.
Okay,
yeah.
So then there's
not
only 55 teams not as good as Florida.
I mean, if Kentucky could kick a field goal, they would have beaten Florida.
But they didn't.
I know, but that's
and none of that matters.
By the way, did you see the kicker for Kentucky's name is Chance Poor? So when he goes up to kick, it's like, the Chance? Poor. And he missed another couple of kicks this week as well in their loss to Mississippi State. 615-737-1025. More of your phones. Plus, coming up next, Floyd's favorite topic. There is a great player available to the Tennessee Titans who I can guarantee you with every dollar I have that the Tennessee Titans will not be signing, and that is Antonio Brown. Floyd, what do you think of the latest with A.B.? We'll get to that coming up next. Jared and the GM live from Neighbors out here in Germantown, right by First Tennessee Park. It's Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Oh, Antonio Brown's on fire on Twitter. He tweeted that, and then he's taking shots at Robert Kraft, the Patriots owners, and his former Steelers quarterback, Ben Roethlisberger. So, yeah, you're going to have to follow A.B. 84 on Twitter. But let's go to the essence of what he said there, which was basically, I'm not going to play football anymore because he's upset because the owners won't pay their guarantees, and we'll see if the union holds them accountable. Well, when he signed with the Patriots, he got $10 million in guaranteed money, $9 million in the form of a signing bonus. But the first payment of that signing bonus, $5 million, wasn't scheduled to be made until Monday. He got fired on Friday for misconduct. And so, therefore, the union will represent him in a grievance when it's filed. The problem that AB seems to be pointing out is that it's only a football union problem. No, if you have misconduct in Major League Baseball, NBA, National Hockey League, this type of misconduct, your guaranteed money is in trouble. So we'll see what happens going forward, but a grievance is expected.
And it creates an interesting situation because when you speak to teams around the league, they believe that the Patriots are going to be liable. But as somebody said this morning, with Antonio Brown firing off the latest round of tweets and including Robert Kraft in them, you could rest be assured that the Patriots will not write a check to Antonio Brown, no matter how long it takes.
Schefter talking, Schefter and Mort talking about AB, the latest drama there. By the way, did you hear that, Robert Kraft? Schefter says after AB tweeted at Robert Kraft about his problems, that Kraft's not going to write the check no matter what for the $9 million signing bonus. So, Floyd, AB had $30 million guaranteed. I forget how much guaranteed he had from Pittsburgh, but then he ends up with $30 million guaranteed from Oakland. Doesn't like that. Gets $9 million guaranteed from New England, screws that up, and now he may end up with nothing. And yesterday, AB, yesterday morning, went on a Twitter meltdown, just tweet storm about Robert Kraft, Big Ben, Shannon Sharp, owners in the league, so on and so forth. One, is AB done for forever in the NFL? And two, what in the world is going on?
Yeah, I don't. I mean, what he's doing is not normal. You know, you're giving up $30 million. I don't care how much money you got. Nobody's just going to forfeit $30 million. You know, that,
like,
that
even
happened.
Warren Buffett would be like, yeah,
it's kind of, wait a minute. Just my choice is I got to show up and play the game, and I get $30 million. I'll be there. You know, I don't know. I just. The more I hear of the things he says and he does and how he's acting and his perception of what's going on, I mean, typical from the standpoint that nothing is ever his fault. You know, his whole world is crumbling around him, and none of it is his fault. It's going to be the Raiders, or it's going to be Drew Rosenhaus, or it's going to be Robert Kraft, or it's going to be somebody else. But, I mean, there is something I would really be concerned about him. If he was my, you know, really, really good friend or teammate or, you know, cousin or something that I you know, really had time, I'd be worried. I'd be looking for professional help of some sort.
What do you think of Adam Schefter saying Robert Kraft is not going to write the bonus check that he was supposed to get due, I think, Wednesday of this week, but because he got cut Friday, now the Patriots are going to try to not give him that signing bonus money.
Yeah, I'm just going to guess this. I mean, this is what I would have done. I'm going to assume they were going to do something along the same lines, which is your signing bonus is earned, but it's not paid until you reach certain milestones. Mm-hmm. And if you fail on those milestones, then it voids. And so I'm assuming that they've got language in there along those lines, and that's going to be how they get out of it, how they, you know, protect themselves.
So,
because, I mean, they knew, you know, that, I mean, I can't believe they were really okay with bringing AB in and saying, okay, here's $10 million, be a good guy. I mean, that just ain't going to happen.
Well, we talked about the language that was in the contract on Friday. I think we talked about it more off the air than we did on the air. But it was like, essentially, anything the Patriots deem as anti against the team, you are fired and don't get anything in return. You know, to size up what the legal language essentially said.
Yeah.
And
the hard part is, if you're him, what choice do you have? You going to dispute it? You know, you're going to say, wait a minute, now I just got to be a really good guy and I get $10 million, right? Right. Okay, I can do that. Well, he messed up. It's $40 million he's messed up in the last 2 months. Less than that, maybe a month. $40 million he has flushed down the toilet. And, you know, has nothing to show for it. I mean, I think he got a check for two game checks. It was, you know, $1.25 million or something.
But he got fined that by the Raiders. So.
Oh, yeah. They turned around and got fined by the Raiders for $250,000. So, I mean, he's headed in the wrong direction. Really, really struggling. I feel, You know, it's you see things like this happen, and you go, man, that guy's a real dummy. And then after a while, you go, geez, I'm starting to feel bad for the guy. You
like
know,
there's something wrong with him?
Yeah, yeah. And then it gets to a point where you just say, oh, man, there's something seriously wrong here. We need to find a way to help this guy out.
I mean, AB's behavior is beyond reckless.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
It's like I saw the headline in the New York Post yesterday, that was O.J. Simpson drops Antonio Brown from his fantasy football team. And I thought, I mean, we were laughing at the O.J. Simpson Twitter video last week that was like, I thought about texting Antonio and giving him some advice. And we're sitting there saying, even O.J. is like, dude, calm down. O.J. like, let's think this through. O.J. Simpson is telling you to bring it down a notch.
Yeah.
What's that tell you?
That ain't good.
And so that's where Antonio Brown is. And I'm sitting here thinking to myself, he thinks that he's going to prove a point by sitting out. By that tweet the other day that was, you know, I'm done with the league, how the owners can do this, and I'm not going to do this anymore. He thinks he's proven a point that everyone's going to miss him so much that we'll forget to watch football because he's not in it, when the rest of us are just going to keep watching football and going about our days.
Absolutely,
like
no problem.
We always have. You know, Peyton Manning retired from the game. We still watched football. Tom Brady's going to retire from the game at some point. Bill Belichick is going to retire. We'll still watch football. And it's too bad Big Ben got hurt, because Tomlin and Ben can't laugh about this right now because their team stinks too. So I don't know, but AB, I'm just sitting there thinking to myself, goodness gracious, you know, what is going on with AB? And the answer is, I don't know.
Yeah,
you don't know.
And nobody else does either.
Rosenhaus doesn't know.
No. Nah.
The Raiders didn't know. The Patriots don't know. O.J. Simpson doesn't know. I mean, none of us know. And so for AB, this is probably the end of the road. Plus, were you surprised when you found out? I mean, I know you're not on Twitter, but I'm sure someone said to you yesterday, or you watched one of the shows or something, that said, hey, AB had a Twitter meltdown today about all these things. Were you even surprised by that? The guy always has a meltdown on social media.
Yeah, I mean, I don't worry about, you know, what he does on Twitter or what anybody does on Twitter isn't a factor to me. But I think it's just a continuum of where he's been. You know, I mean, he is shaky at best. And you know, you just hope, it's like we were said before. I mean, he's going to do something crazy here. He's going to, you know, he came out, remember the interview with, I can't remember who it was, where he came out and said, I don't need football.
Yeah.
I don't need the money. I don't need any of that. Really?
No, he came out in that same interview and said, all these guys, they have egos. I don't have an ego.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think it'll be interesting to see, because I don't care. You know, the lifestyle he has, I don't know that there's enough money.
Especially if you're throwing furniture off of a balcony.
All the lawsuits and things he's got going. Awful.
I mean, Mike Tyson. It's going to get to the point to where OJ and Mike Tyson are going to have an intervention with Antonio Brown to tell him to calm down. That's how reckless AB's getting. 615-737-1025. Right to your phones on AB, since y'all want to get in on this. Why not? On a Reaction Monday, Jared and the GM live from Bridgestone, or not Bridgestone Arena. I'm thinking Bridgestone Arena because we'll be there in a couple days, and Preds Fest is coming up and all of that. Jared and the GM, we are live from Neighbors out here in Germantown, right by First Tennessee Park. Again, if you haven't come out here, Floyd and I were talking about this earlier. This is honestly the most Titan bar I have ever seen. Like, even the bars at the stadium, I think, are less Titans than this bar.
Yeah, this is big time. Of course, Zach Pillard, former guard for us for a number of years, I mean, lives and breathes it, and it's represented well here. We got jerseys from just about everybody he played with. I mean, great group, and he's got, he was always into wrestling. He's got some really interesting stuff. I was telling him he's got a thing over there from a movie. I can't remember what the name of the movie was, but it's one of those, you know, okay, Corral kind of thing. I mean, it's great. Good stuff.
So, need to come on out tonight especially. They're going to have the Monday Night Football Watch Party. Chicago, Washington. Thanks to our friends at Tullamore Dew. So, come on out. Tullamore Dew and Bruce are only $6. Jared and the GM, CSP at 102.5 The Game. All right, y'all want to get in on Antonio Brown. Jared and the GM live out at Neighbors in Germantown. And we're hanging with the proprietor of this place, Zach Piller, former Titan great. And he was a lot like Antonio Brown back in the day, I can assume, Floyd, or maybe a little bit better teammate.
Yeah, a much better teammate.
Much better teammate. Anywho, back to the phones. Anywho, back to the phones on AB. And then I have a couple of Preds thoughts I want to get into because, Floyd, I went to the game Saturday, and the Preds were scoring on the power play. So we need to discuss about that because that is a developing story. But Gary is up next on Antonio Brown. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, Gary.
Hey, guys. A couple things. For one, money won't be a problem. He doesn't pay any of his bills. He definitely needs so a CTE true. Scan. His brain's worse than Aaron Hernandez. He took some hits from Burflick in the day. Gruden should have put him in jail for recording him. And apparently his cousin for the Ravens was there when he raped the girl, so that ain't good. And he'll probably get a reality show. But my question for Floyd is, that nine-year career he had in Pittsburgh, is that good enough for the Hall of Fame?
Thank you for the call, Gary.
There's no doubt, in my mind, he was certainly a Hall of Fame candidate. And the truth is, for the voters of Hall of Fame, off-the-field issues are not supposed to be a problem. It's not supposed to affect your vote, but, in fact, it does. And so I think he's probably hurt himself a little bit. I mean, and there's no telling where he goes from here.
What's he going to do at 3 o'clock on a Wednesday?
Yeah, I mean, you just don't know what's going to happen with the guy. And it's so scary because I can't imagine anything really good happening. You know, he's not going to all of a sudden start an orphanage and, you know, bring in thousands of kids. And, I mean, that kind of stuff's not going to happen. And so I don't know where he goes.
Antonio Brown's orphanage.
Jeez, I don't know.
Zach is up next on AB. Thank you for calling. What's up, Zach?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I've got just a couple of quick points. So like the GM said, his behavior kind of started off like it was just kind of idiotic and attention-seeking. But it's got to the point now where I'm genuinely thinking he's got some type of like mental illness. Like, I don't know if it's borderline personality or bipolar, but he cannot check his impulses. He is completely unable to do that. I'm not a psychiatrist, but, I mean, there's something more going on here than just a guy acting out.
I would agree with the caller. And again, we all know I'm not a psychiatrist.
Well, but the other thing is, it's impossible to diagnose someone that you're not like seeing at the time. But there's something wrong.
And you only have to be around a couple of people like that. I don't like to be around people like that. I mean, I don't want to be around them because I'm always thinking this guy's going to do something really dumb, and it's going to embarrass us all, or get us all in trouble, or, you know, we're going to end up in a brawl, or, you know, who knows what's going to happen. But it's going to be something off the wall and something that's going to be an issue for you, and he won't think a thing about it because when it's all said and done, it's not going to be his fault anyway. It's going to be your fault.
My thing with AB, and this is just me, my thing with AB is there's something wrong. And I don't know if it's from football or if it was always wrong, and the money and the fame and the getting his way out of Pittsburgh and getting his way in Oakland, and if all of that, you know, kind of elevated whatever's wrong, but something's wrong. I mean, I'm going to go back to O.J. Simpson here, but as O.J. pointed out earlier in the week, how do you text the woman that comes forward in the woman comes forward in the Sports Illustrated story, and you send a text message to her and a group of people intimidating her, and you don't think that's going to end poorly for you?
That's what I'm talking about. You know, somebody does something like that is just really dumb. And if it affects you in any way, shape, or form, I mean, you're going to end up paying for. You know, you're going to end up, it's going to end up, you know, being a factor in your business or your life or with your family or something.
So I do want to get to the Predators for a second. Two things of note. Number one, I went to the game Saturday, and they scored on the power play multiple times, including one on the one which wasn't a power play goal, but I counted as a power play goal because the power play was over, and Pekka was banging the stick as the guy was coming out of the box. But as the guy was coming out of the box, the Predators scored. So it's not technically a power play goal, but it is a power play goal, and it was a beautiful goal from Eli Tolvanen, who we had talked about last week. We had said, hey, is Eli Tolvanen going to actually show us some things soon that we can actually get excited that this guy might be good, because we haven't seen any of that, and he had a beautiful goal.
But then...
then they sent it down! They sent it down!
He's going down.
Why is he going down?
Back to Milwaukee.
If he was going to go down, and this is just me, if he was going to go down, so while I'm excited that they're scoring on the power play and Duchesne scored and Rem Petlick got an overtime game winner, but if Tolvanen is going to go down, would he not be one of the last cuts of camp so that you get him as much game time as possible and practice time with the big club and then send him down right before the season if you're going to send him down? Why would you send him down now when you still got two preseason games to go, and you've got a week's worth of practice before the season starts? I don't know. Somebody help me out. This guy needs to be helping this team, and if he's not helping the team, then he needs to be getting better to be able to help the team. And they sent him down? And it was a beauty of a goal. A beauty on Saturday night.
I don't know what they're doing. I mean, again, we thought, 2 years ago?
Oh, he's going
to
come right
he
in.
He was going to come right in and be part of the playoffs, and, you know, was going to make a difference for us. And so then last year we thought, well, okay, he needs a little bit of seasoning. And like you said, they're already sending him down this year, so I don't know.
Any excitement coming from you over power play goals in the preseason?
In the preseason?
I know.
No, I probably can't say there is. But it's nice to just see him. I mean, did it look different? Were they doing anything different that made it unique or special or no?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I watched. They just weren't firing off shots from the point, which would be a marked improvement over what we've been seeing. But they passed it around a lot. You know, at one point they weren't moving around a ton, but they were still moving the puck around. And then they had a beautiful, I mean, they passed it around, a little tic-tac-toe action, and Forsberg rifled one in, and the goalie couldn't react, and he put it right in the net. I mean, they go to the power play, and it's Josi, Arvidsson, Forsberg, Johansson, and Duchesne. I'm like, all right, you know, like, let's see this. Boom, right in the back of the net. And I'm like, okay. Now, that's Tampa's third-string goalie, Wedgewood, who was out there.
Who went down today.
Tampa's goalie did. I don't know. He might be working at Kroger right now. I don't know. Like, so, anywho, he's their, you know, their third-string goalie. But, again, I will take, and this is just me, I will take power play goals if I can get them. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We'll have more Preds thoughts throughout the day and throughout the preseason. But 615-737-1025. Deshaun Watson, Jacoby Brissett, Gardner Minshew. None of them were taken with the second overall pick in the draft.
Right.
And yet I'm seeing them do things yesterday and on Thursday that Marcus Mariota does not do. What gives? We'll get to that next. We are live from Neighbors in Germantown. Jared and the GM. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.